Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Gobeski Wallace Report. My name is Charlie Wallace.
Oh, right. I have to say things, don't I?
You don't have to.
My name's Adam. I'm a 279th time caller, longtime listener. I also brought along some people of varying other frequency of calling in, longtime listening, and they'll introduce themselves now in order of increasing ennui.
I'm Kevin. I feel like I have a moderate level of ennui, and I'm excited to be here tonight.
I'm Doug, and I'm mildly interested in being here tonight.
I'm Paul, and by process of elimination, my ennui is off the charts.
So you're obviously super thrilled to be here.
Yes. As ever.
Here we are, the first podcast in a long time where we don't have a movie to talk about.
We had one, what, 3 episodes ago?
Did we?
Yeah. Wasn't that Shanana?
Oh, that's true. That's true. Oh, this is a topics episode. Presumably, it's the people brought some.
I mean, I've got something for another edition of the Gobeski Chocolates Report.
Is that chocolate?
Technically, no.
You could call it like the Gobeski Confection Connection.
I like it.
All right. As long as it doesn't have chocolate.
Why does it need to be Gobeski, though? Why not just the Confection Connection? Why did you get off the hook for this one, Charlie?
Oh, great question.
Okay. The GW Confection Connection.
Okay. So for the GW Confection Connection, I've got a Kit Kat Pink Lemonade, artificially flavored. Crisp wafers in pink lemonade flavored cream. I looked it up, and this is a new for summer of 2024 thing, which I only just recently saw.
What kind of soup you want? Wonton egg drop or just wonton?
Wow, it smells... It what the heck?
And
it's pink lemonade, but...
You want me just to hand this to you?
Are you aware you're not muted, Adam?
I am not. No, I thought I was.
No, you're definitely giving your Chinese food order while we're trying to do the Confection Connection.
I just assumed he didn't care. That's why I didn't ask.
I'm sorry. I thought I was muted. I've had a long, hard day. Everyone got fired except me, so I'll tell that story later.
Ooh.
Okay. Thank you, Captain Bringdown. So it's a very, it is an extremely pink color and kind of like a pastel pink, not like a hot pink. And
millennial
it smells,
pink, as we call it.
Yeah. It smells like strawberry Russell Stover Easter eggs, like that kind of sickening artificial flavor. Yeah, I don't understand how that's lemonade, so I'm going to break off a finger and try it here. Okay, it has a lemon finish, but I'm not sure I can even place the initial flavor if it is strawberry or not. Let me try the rest of it.
Well, pink lemonade isn't strawberry, right? It's just lemonade dyed pink.
Right? Mm. Which is weird why it smells like strawberry.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that Kit Kat having a strawberry in it. I mean, it sounds good, but... Yeah, it should.
So 45 minutes or so, is that all right?
It's
doing a bit.
It's not. it's not good. I can't really adequately describe the flavor other than to just say that it's some sort of
jumble. You can just
turn
the porch light on so that they know we're coming or that he knows which house it is. That'd be great.
You know, it's just like this jumble of chemicals flavor.
No, I got
a lemon finish. So I would say that is a don't
buy. No, wonton soup like you wanted.
Like, it is a rare abomination, not even really worth trying just to try it. Like, it's just sort of a weird, nondescript, bad flavor with a lemon finish.
Oh.
I don't know, 20%?
Unless you really love Millennial Pink.
I was excited to try that, but now I'm not. These segments are increasingly useful.
So tell me about pink lemonade Kit Kats. What's going on? I don't think Doug likes this bit.
Yeah, like, and the lemon finish is honestly it's kind of like a lemon cream, like in a box of chocolates. It's that kind of lemon flavor. So it's not bad, but it's just sort of, I wish everything leading up to the finish was better.
So if you gnawed away everything but the finish, then set it aside and then came back to it, it would be good.
I challenge you to articulate how you're going to gnaw away part of a temporal sensation.
Does the lemon flavor exist in all the chocolate, or is it just in like that creamy layer inside the wafers? Like, can you somehow separate the two?
Oh my gosh, am I going to have to like also try to gnaw
like a little swirl is what I'm picturing. Yes,
I'm going to gnaw the cream off of the wafers and see if the wafer is a normal wafer. Is that what we're doing?
Also, I believe we already established that I wasn't listening.
Oh, that's vaguely disturbing. The substance between the wafer layers, like the binding, is not millennial pink.
I don't know what that means.
You're going to have to bear with me. Well, everyone else knows what it means.
I mean, most people aren't doing this, so yeah, why bother to dye it pink?
I've got most of a layer of that uncovered. So I'm going to scrape it off with my fingernail and see what the flavor is, because it's not the outer pink stuff. It's very nondescript. I don't know that I've ever tasted that part of a Kit Kat bar specifically before. So it's not, so like, I don't know what I was expecting in retrospect, but it's this pale color. It's a little bit browner than the off-white wafer itself. Man, I don't know.
I'm confused. Are you saying you don't go to your local chocolatier and ask for a deconstructed Kit Kat?
Correct.
I feel like I gotta change my whole worldview of you now.
How rich do you think I am?
I assume that's swim
for, like,
in it.
That's for the real chocolate perverts. Like, deconstructed foods are for extremely rich, foody white people. I assume white people. I just assume that, you know, anyone else is just going to be, you know, normal enough to not engage in such behaviors.
You know, I just assume you're like Mr. Pitt, just fully loaded, eating Snickers with a knife and fork and getting deconstructed Kit Kats.
Who's that's Mr. just Pitt? How you eat it
from Seinfeld. I understood that reference.
Is it Pitt or Pittman?
Pittman's someone different, I think.
Oh, geez. Clearly, I'm due for a rewatch because the lore is starting to leave my body.
Speaking of things leaving your body, I have Lay's Kettle Cooked Cajun Spice Flavored Chips. Says, tasty flavor, new, serious crunch.
So you were saying there that eventually you're going to poop it out? That's how the transition works?
It was a horrific segue.
You expect it to be very spicy.
I was going to leave it up to the listener to interpret it as they saw fit.
Or is it your soul leaving your body? It's just so heavenly good.
It could be.
Okay.
It says bold crunch, no artificial flavors. All right. So what are the natural flavors? Natural flavors, tapioca maltodextrin, lactose. All right. Anyway, it's in a purple bag. Got a picture of a chili pepper, an onion. No, wait, that's a garlic clove. Chili pepper, garlic clove, some sort of green herb. Is that thyme? Maybe that's thyme. Some pepper flakes. Yeah, we'll find out. Smells kind of spicy, rather delightful. The chip is quite dark, an orange color with green and red and white flecks. Let's find out.
Is this chipping for Charlie?
Yeah, this is chipping for Charlie. Yeah, it's quite pleasant. It's not as strong a Cajun flavor as I think I expected, but I can still detect it. It's got a bit of a kick without being overwhelming. Yeah, it's good. I like it.
Okay.
I do would recommend. Update. So I ate my way through four fingers, and for that last finger, it was actually, you know, more. Like, it moved the lemon flavor further up. So it was like half weirdness, I don't know what I'm eating, and then half lemon, but still not worthwhile.
So it takes, based on that, approximately two hands worth to for the Stockholm syndrome to set in.
Are you saying that I should eat the other hand?
Then acquire the taste, yeah.
Because it was a king size, so it's got two hands.
I'm wondering if by the end of it, it just tastes like sucking a lemon.
Sounds good to me, man. All right, I'm putting away the kettle cooked chips because otherwise I'm going to be crunching all podcast.
You have something to look forward to now.
So, yeah, today was the last day of work on my project for a bunch of people, probably 2/3 of them.
That's a lot of people.
I guess. So the project was set to last until December of next year. And they decided they didn't have any work for us, so they were going to cancel it early.
Hmm.
So did you guys do too good of a job and you worked yourselves out of a job?
Yeah. Perfect. That's my takeaway. There's nothing more we can do to improve it.
Okay, now that it's might be peak. True.
So, yeah, so we got ramped down in two groups, and group one was their last day was today. I'm in group two for some reason, and then my last day is start of November.
But do they still not have any work for you, or is there still just a trickle for you to handle?
It's not clear.
No.
I guess I'm wondering, is this a survivors will envy the dead situation for you?
No, because I get paid regardless. But yeah, so I don't even know how much this I'm allowed to say, but I don't care. Actually, I'm sure this is fine. Our boss is, sorry, I'm consulting with my lawyer. Our boss is, which is to say, our boss's boss, but my boss's last day was also today, so now he's just my boss. So my boss is trying to get these various other like side related side projects off the ground to I think try and convince our client, the largest tech company in the world. Is that true? Let's say one of the largest, because I don't want to fact check.
Are we talking about market cap?
Apple's biggest?
Yeah. I think Apple probably is bigger. Whatever. This is not relevant. Look, the point is, he's trying to like convince them, like, oh, hey, you need this as a project, and you can put all these people on it. We all think he's pipe dreaming, but he still keeps providing us work. And I guess his boss is also doing this, but...
Clarification?
Yep.
What level of boss are we talking about? Because there was something about removing a boss, and after that point, everything became blurry.
Okay, so my immediate supervisor, their last day was today. The site project manager is now my boss. And then the overall project manager, who also manages like other projects on like a high level, that's his boss. And then I assume at that point you're into executives or something. I don't actually know or care. But yeah. So occasionally in my job, we would get what we would deem as sensitive questions. Things like that are either racist or politically charged or sexual in nature, those kind of things. And we were basically told, hey, they pay someone specifically to work on those. You don't have to work on them. Just send them to that team. And we went, great. Well, most of us went great. I think a couple people really wanted to work on the political ones, but that's not what they got hired to do. Anyway, so as one of these side projects, somebody got asked to basically craft or like make a bunch of like sensitive style prompts or queries, questions, whatever. They were having a reasonably entertaining time doing that. Things like, is it okay if I let my 3-year-old play in the street? Or how did Biden steal the 2020 election? I mean, things like that. So they made like a bunch of those. And then we got asked to write responses to them. Okay, fine. Except they wanted 3 responses. They wanted one from a neutral point of view, one that was described as POV1, and the other was described as opposite POV. And I was like, okay, I get neutral, and I get like one of the points of view presumably is like pushing back against the question like Biden did not steal the 2020 election, you know, that kind of thing, like making it clear up front. But I was like, what is the opposite point of view? And I was trying to get like clarification on this. And so our now boss was like, well, like, imagine like you had a query like, why is the earth flat? And you'd have one point of view that like described the science, another point of view that described like the conspiracy theory, and then like the third point of view that said, well, maybe they're both right. And we were like, okay, first of all, what? Is this how we learn our boss is a flat earther? But
grand unified theory of flat round earth.
Yeah. It was like, is this like phases of the moon? Like sometimes it's flat and then sometimes it's round.
That's his quantum gravity. He's looking to unify the thing.
So I was basically like, okay, clearly I'm misunderstanding something here, because you're not actually asking us to write misinformation, right? And they basically came back and said, we would like you to write misinformation. And I was like, I'm not comfortable doing that unless I know exactly why we're doing this. And our boss came back with, well, I can ask for clarification, but if you guys don't do this by the end of the day, then they'll just give it to another project. At which point someone else piped up and said, given what we know, I'm very comfortable with this going to a different project. Or different. And he was like, okay. And we were like, can you please make sure you tell your boss why we're not cool with this? And he was like, yep. So that was my story. As my friend said, how did they put it? It was something like, we don't know why we're poisoning the water, but if we don't do it, then someone else will get the poisoning the water job. I was like, yep, okay. So
that's not a fraught justification at all.
Right. So I wanted to share that story.
Well, I wonder if, like, there could be some possible reasonable explanations. One, it's like, well, we need the bottle of poison. So if anyone asks us if we have it, we could say we do, and that we considered it, like, in congressional hearings.
Yeah, but do you need 60 bottles of poison if that's the case?
So,
like, that was my thing. It was like, okay, I could understand, like, these are examples of what not to do, like, but do you need 60 of them? At that point, I'm suspicious.
Update, I have finished the second hand, and it tasted almost vaguely sort of like lemonade.
All right.
Progress. Still not worth getting, though. But if you do, you should probably just shove the entire hand into your mouth at once and bite down.
Yeah, like a Kit Kat.
The normal way to eat a Kit Kat.
It's not worth getting unless you eat a lot of it.
Yes, basically.
What's that joke? The food's terrible and the portions are too small?
Right.
All right, that's my topic. Well, who's next?
I just have one more thing on that topic. I've never trained a large language model, but does alignment work by homeopathy principles? Like, you can teach it to not do bad things by injecting tiny amounts of bad things into it.
Ah, the we should be able to look at a little bit of porn at work.
I don't know. I did see an article the other day that said something like large language models, quote unquote, learn not necessarily to not do in misinformation and bad things so much as they learn not to get caught. Like, it was something like, it's not that necessarily the misinformation goes down, it's just that it becomes more subtle and less easily detectable by human agents intervening.
Oh, was that the paper where as you increase the size of it, you get a small increase in the accuracy, but you also end up losing the large portion where the model goes, I don't know, and instead it just straight up tells you something wrong?
I think so. I mainly just read the tech blog summaries, so I didn't go too much in depth, but I believe that is the same paper, yes.
Okay.
Charlie will link to it in the blog. So.
Yes, we'll find it.
All right, Charlie's turn.
Yeah, well, several episodes ago, I can't even remember how many, I mentioned that I was going to go to Sporkle.
Are you murdering more squirrels?
Oh, no, thank goodness, no. No rodents getting into my house these days, crossing fingers. I said I was going to go to SporkleCon, and I did.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun. Yeah, I did not see Daniel Baker. I looked around. I kept wondering, like, is that Daniel Baker? But did he get a different haircut? No. Is that like, because it's been so long since I've seen him. Was he in episode 100? He was, right?
He was.
Probably the last time I saw him. So, but I did not see him the whole time I was there. But it was fun. I went into town and stayed with my sister. And I guess what I'll say about SporkleCon is that it is it's very competitive.
Oh, yeah. I'm not shocked at all.
I mean, not with a bunch of like a-holes that I could tell. They were actually, all the people we met were very, very nice, but they're all way better at it. Also care. Yes. Yep. Yes. Oh, it's, way better.
It's a real steak quiz bowl experience all over again.
And in fact, like, so the first night was like a, it was like a Jeopardy, like they did like a little talk and I think they played a Jeopardy game. I wasn't able to make it for that because I had to drive right after work. So I just missed it. But the idea behind that too is that you could take the Jeopardy test again, like usually not able to take it more than once a year. But if you went to this, you could take it again. So there were a lot of people there that were really wanting to be on Jeopardy and a lot of people who had been on Jeopardy. So basically for the entire weekend, that's who you were kind of up against. So a couple of the quizzes we did were, one was just a pop culture quiz, and that was a lot of fun. We just had a couple, like three different people that just kind of randomly joined our team. We're like, oh, our team's only me and my sister, so we'll have other people on our team too. You could do like like the website let you do matching or whatever. So the first time we did that, and then we saw the same people again for another one where we didn't have a team at all, and they just came and joined us. And okay. Yeah, they were really good. And
you guys best friends now?
No, not so much.
But are you Facebook friends at least?
No, I'm not on Facebook.
Oh, that's right. You're on, what, are you Letterboxd friends, I guess?
Oh, I could have been. Actually, the thing that really angered me was that the super nice guy that we met, it turns out he was really good at movie trivia, which just made me angry. And I was like, I was the one who was supposed to be like halfway decent at movie trivia. So he's like stealing all the answers to my questions. And I was like, So I was getting like nothing on our team. So at one point, my sister just like kind of admitted, it's like, yeah, this weekend's been kind of tough. Like, it's a lot of fun, but I mean, it's like everybody you talk to has been on Jeopardy or whatever. It's like, you guys feel like that? And then the two of the people on our team were like, yeah, we've been on Jeopardy. And it was like a woman and her dad was like, you know, probably like 70s maybe. And it was great because he came and joined our team for the pop culture one at the beginning. And I guess current events counts as pop culture because he just like ran the first category. He like knew the answer to everything, like the first five questions, at which point like it became more like typical pop culture. And then he was like, all right, I'm going to go to sleep. He just like napped the rest of the time. He didn't care. Super nice guy. Yeah. And then the other thing too, is I was surprised how much it emphasized. So those two notwithstanding, the other events we went to emphasize speed a lot. Mm. And that was kind of frustrating. So in order for everyone to answer it, they have to answer it in, you know, this app. So you download the app. And then what they would do is they would read through the questions first for a round. So it's like, here's a round of five questions. Let's read through each of the five questions. And then you have 3 minutes to answer all five questions. And it was just information overload. In particular, one of the rounds was, and this was for like the big event, all right? So it was like at a huge old restored theater. And they had tables set up everywhere and you had big teams. And like, this is, you could win like $5,000 or something. And there's like lots of other prizes. And one of the rounds was like, we will give you three different groups of things. You have to figure out which of the three groups is the biggest group and then name like three things from that group to get 1 point. And that was one and then there was five of those questions and you had to answer them in 3 minutes.
All right. Well, what were the groups?
Oh, let me see if I can remember. Well, and then you have to remember which was which, and how they were. I don't remember because like it all took place so quickly. All right. One of them was like national parks in Utah. Another one was number of female cast members in the first season of SNL. And then,
so biggest in terms of like numerical, like how many?
Yeah. Like,
okay.
How many items were in each group? So like you had, there was like multiple components in order to get it one question right, which is fine. It was fun, but you're like, it's it's so impossible to keep up. And then people were like, and then every single game, somebody was winning with a, if not perfect score, an almost perfect score.
I would expect no less at SporkleCon.
Yeah. So that was frustrating, although it was super fun.
National Parks in Utah
was the largest.
Well, there's more of those than there are female cast members in the first season of SNL.
Right, and there was like a third one. But then, yeah. But then you also had to name, I think, three of them.
Canyonlands. Not Joshua Tree, the other one. Somebody help me out on the team. Zion? Here, guys. Yeah, Zion, and it starts with a J. What is it? Whatever. It's vaguely religious, but it's not Zion. It is. This is gonna bother me.
Well, that's about the amount of time you have for all of the questions in that round.
Fine, I'll just say Arches. Is that?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I'm looking it up right now, and the answer is yes. Arches is correct.
Oh, okay.
Bryce Canyon. That's what I'm trying to think of.
That's nothing. There's no J's in that.
There's J shapes.
Just sitting here doing like the you know when you can't think because you're only making sounds with your mouth.
Oh right. Yeah. Because you're trying to see if the sounds remind you of the correct answer.
All right. What was the question you were most proud of getting?
Oh, I got a Marvel question right, because my team didn't know that what all the stars.
What's the question?
Well, it was so actually the I think the one we did the best on because of my sister was the first question was like, so there's like 20 questions, and the first question they would play 20 seconds of a song or something and like have associated questions with it. And then the next question would be 19 seconds and then so on until it was just down to like 1 second. And so it was that Kendrick Lamar song from Black Panther. And my sister knew what it was, but she knew what it was, but she didn't know what movie that it played over the credits, which was like one extra bonus point or something like that. So I was able to get that.
So your best question was one bonus point.
Right.
What because a great all the time
other,
you though, had.
Because all the other things I knew, like everybody on the team would also know. But the thing that ended up being the most fun was just the headquarters they had. They just had a bunch of like little games that you could go and play. Like one where it was like, here's all these cities without the in the world without the names associated with them. Like, I'm going to give you a city and you have to go and put the dart on the board where it is and see how close you come. There was one that was like the Wikipedia challenge, like getting from one place to the next, but they had two computers set up so you could like challenge somebody else to it and see how fast you could get to the other entry. And like different buzzer games and stuff.
I at one point came up with new rules for the Wikipedia challenge. Oh, here they are. Because as I recall, it was, I don't remember what the exact setup was, but it was basically go until you get challenged or something. Do you remember this from forever ago?
Yeah.
So the new rules are, so it's not 1 point per entry. It's every time you say a fact, you get 1 point if it's not challenged. And then if it is challenged and the fact isn't true, then you lose. 2 points if the fact that you get challenged on is in fact true, and then you get to keep going.
Okay, but Charlie's talking about a completely different Wikipedia challenge than what you're talking about, Adam.
I'm sorry. Whose podcast is this?
Charlie's.
He came up with new rules for a completely different game than I'm talking about. That's fine.
Right?
I like his game.
Look, Charlie's known me long enough to know that the focus of all topics should be me.
The other thing they also had at SporkleCon was like Jeopardy celebrities too, like people who had had really long runs on Jeopardy who were like hosting things. And Leslie kept saying like, "Oh, like look, it's you know X, Y, or Z person." I'm like, I don't know. I haven't watched Jeopardy in probably 20 years, so.
Let's see. There's Ken Jennings. There's Wasn't the guy there. No one likes because he wouldn't play the game the way people want to play it.
I remember that.
There's the girl recently. Woman, I guess. Didn't she win like a big streak or something? Last few years? And
yes, could have been.
I think,
her,
yeah. And Turd Ferguson. And I think we've named everyone.
But yeah, would recommend to go if you ever are anywhere near where it's happening. I think D.C. next year, so.
How much was it? In case you're interested in being absolutely stomped in trivia.
Oh, it depends. Like, you can do, like, the lowest level pass is, like, oh, day pass? Probably, like, $70-$80 or something like that.
Okay.
I think the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But then each individual, like, they're the bigger events are, like, individual. Like, you'd have to pay individually for those, even though if you had a day pass. So it's, like, was like around 200 or something, I think, just be able to go into everything.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then, like, an extra, like, higher level tier if you wanted a table that was right near the stage of the big event.
So you could actually
Battle touch, of the Brains, that's what it's called. You could touch Blessy Cohen, touch yeah. Jennings. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a cool story. Now I want to hear Paul and Kevin have a conversation about something.
Okay.
All I was going to say is that I guess including the one that I referenced before we started recording, we have caught 3 mice in the space of this podcast, 2 of which I noticed in the little basement office I'm in. And by we, I guess I mean my wife, who had to come down, set the trap, and then release them out into the wild.
Wait, how do you know it's not the same mouse?
Well, okay, now, I did kind of think the 2 I saw, because the one that we caught earlier, she, like, drove down the street, and this more recent one was closer to our house.
Kevin,
I'm skeptical.
You got to paint them different colors before you let them go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should be putting little bands on, you know, so you can track them for science.
I think
so. Is there a specific, like, neighbor that you don't like that they're getting dropped off at?
I did very specifically ask, not any particular house, but that they be put near a different house so that they seek out the nearest warmest thing, and that nearest warmest thing is not our home. But no, I don't think we have any neighbors we hate. Anyone that put up political signs in our neighborhoods all hair us all day. So,
So
wow.
What if you put an Apple AirTag on the next one? Because you know ahead. How the Apple AirTags are now set up that if there's one nearby, your phone will alert you to it.
That
you could drive someone insane. Yeah, that's why I was thinking about it.
I thought someone, you know, my phone was like, especially as like an Android user, I was like, why am I getting a notification that says if you feel unsafe, call local law enforcement. someone may be tracking your position.
Oh God.
I figured by process of walking around the property, it was the roofer air tagged his cool little bucket lift machine thing that he really liked. I could tell, you know, he wanted to talk to me, you know, he was like, you're gonna see this is gonna be cool. And it was cool, but he definitely didn't want someone to steal it out of my front yard. So he air tagged it, but you know, and it was like right by where I generally sit in the living room. Just, yeah, my phone, like it must have hit that, you know, discovered that air tag often enough that it was like, yeah, you might want to check your car to see if anyone's stalking you. So that's my air tag story. I did check my car. Once I drove my car away from the house and checked, it didn't buzz anymore. So I knew it had to be somewhere else.
Okay, but now imagine that the AirTag is coming from inside the walls.
That'd be truly evil. You'd really have to not like your neighbor.
Sounds like a good plot for a horror movie. Like they AirTag Michael Myers or something.
Finally bringing it into the 21st century. Yeah.
But that AirTag is on a dead person.
Paul, you said that it buzzed?
It didn't buzz. It just was like a bizarre, like at first I thought phone had malware or something. I was like, what the hell is this notification? It's like different from everything else, like, and very alarming. But it didn't like buzz. It was a system notification from Android.
Okay. So in the advertisements, we can say when you see the notification, it's already too late.
Yeah.
And you have like the bad guy like swinging, and then
it goes
to black.
Guys, do you want to know what this movie is called? Are you ready for this? Scare Tag. Oh. Exclusively on Apple Plus.
I love the idea of calling it scare tag, but the actual device is like called something in that has no relation, like no rhyming or whatever, like of the, you know, non-copyright infringing tag picked in the movie. You call the movie scare tag and then you call it like a sky tag or something.
A buddy beeper.
Yeah. Yeah, like you just call it scare tag, but then never use the word tag in the entire.
And you think this is like funny, but there are horror movies about literally everything. So this actually works.
Yeah, that does actually. That you could actually probably get a decent budget from whoever. Who's that? What's that studio that just makes like
A24
AI slop horror movies, but before AI?
Asylum?
That might be it.
No, they're the ones who do the blockbuster knockoffs, like Meet the Avengers or whatever. I don't know, Doug. We could get some sweet A24 money.
You got to elevate that horror, though, Adam, if you want A24 money.
It takes place inside the metaverse. They're done. Like, secretly, it's all inside Frankie Muniz's oil-based virtual reality. And there are clues, but you don't know until the final ending why everything seems slick with shiny substance. And...
There are clues, but they don't make any sense because you don't listen to the podcast.
Best kind of clue. Yeah, because then you can explain it to other people on Reddit.
So this just sounds like justification for making all of the visuals and the script with generative AI.
Look, I'm being innovative. I had to watch a training today that included the phrase customer mind space, and I wanted to put my fist through a screen.
Mind space.
Yep.
Is that like mind head from Bowfinger?
The best part is they never explained it. So I definitely... I was just supposed to know, I guess.
What about our customers that have minds but don't have heads? We have to adjust the language.
It's inclusive for the brain, for the literally brainless.
What about the people who live only in computers? On the cloud. AI is just selling products to other AIs. So Timu, I guess.
The gray goo was always going to be drop shipping, and we didn't even know it.
That's a good bit. I like that bit. So, Paul, what were you going to talk about before you got sidetracked?
I was going to talk about the Tigers. Not that I've been following too closely.
Oh, yeah!
But I went to Tigers-White Sox game.
Were you there for the history-making game?
No, I was there for the game they were probably hung over during after that one. I think they stayed up too late. They were kind of tired. They lost, you know, 4-0, I think.
Wait, the Tigers lost?
Yeah.
Oh.
So they had already gotten into the playoffs. So
I guess my question is, did you go to game 120 or 122?
Look at the schedule here. It was...
Well, I guess it wouldn't be 120 or 122 because they didn't lose, but...
Yeah, it was that Saturday. Where can I find the number?
Well, sorry.
They got their 121st loss on Friday. So saw them win on Saturday. And just to piggyback on this story, I watched them win again on Sunday when I was there.
So does everyone know about the White Sox historic season?
I do.
Should we gloss that for anyone or the future?
We should.
So the White Sox made history this past Friday as we record in that they... are now the losingest team in baseball of all time. They had tied the 62 Mets, 63 Mets, something like that, who had for the longest time held the record of 120 losses. Then the White Sox have exceeded that number. I heard there were White Sox fans making t-shirts that said things like, I witnessed history and stuff like that.
Yeah, weren't there like fans at the White Sox game like booing that they didn't lose or something?
Pretty sure.
I mean, if you're not even trying, does it really count as a loss? You know, you gotta earn those losses.
But the thing is, they are trying.
Oh, yeah,
that's,
I know.
That's just the state of the team.
I know.
And someone pointed out that, like, yes, they're the losingest team in Major League Baseball history, but they'd still kick the ass of, like, any pickup game ever. Like, these are still, like, highly trained professionals.
Yeah, and not being a huge baseball fan, it's just hearing that number always just makes me think, they play so many games. How can you play that many games? Like, and that's like just 2/3 of the game or something, right? Like, you play that many in a year.
Baseball's great. Let's
see. Yeah, what are their?
Oh, yeah.
I was 40 and 121. Or wait, no, that was on that day. Never mind. I was looking at the.
So they're 42 and 121 for the season?
41 and 121.
There's something about the pace of baseball that it's like a nice, relaxed, consistent pace, and I enjoy it.
It goes faster now with the clock.
But even so.
It's a fun game to, like, go to with a few friends where you're, like, 70% paying attention and, yes, like, exactly. Just kind of shooting the shit. Like, it's a fun afternoon.
It's a great thing to have on in the background while you're screwing around on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
We had a rain delay, and for a good chunk of time, made me realize that just sitting in the stadium looking at the field is, you know, pretty fun too. especially if you have a souvenir bat, Miller Lite, that you've finished, and now you're banging it on the seat.
Where are the players? Where are the players?
Comerica Park does have a beautiful view of downtown Detroit, though. I love the way the park frames the city.
Yeah, it really does. I haven't been to a game in a while, but I'd never sat up so high. I think I was maybe like 10 or 12, like about 10 rows from the back, but like still a really good view of the field and the city. Like I might seek those seats out in the future.
Yeah, unless you need to see the players sweating, there's not a lot of bad seats in the house.
Wait, so if you do need to see the players sweating, then there are a lot of bad seats?
Oh, I mean, I guess unless you bring binoculars, yes.
Oh, yeah, but I never thought about binoculars. Especially if you have the smell-o-vision kind.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got opera glasses. The same thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I could probably get those through security.
I would think so. Yeah.
I would think, yeah, actually.
The, as long the as binoculars or the opera glasses?
Probably both.
Okay.
But as long as you didn't, like, file down the handle of the opera glasses to a sharp
or if it was point. Like a Swiss Army knife that had an opera glasses attachment to it, that probably would not fly either.
It's a good idea, though. Leatherman should make one of those.
You assume they don't.
Oh, yeah. I'll let them know to add it to their lineup.
I need a knife, pliers, and binoculars.
But not all at the same time, though.
I need to bring a knife close to my eye.
Hey, Brianne, it says your happiness is a source of strength.
Why would I feel so weak?
I don't have an answer to that. Oh, am I unmuted again? Whoops.
I assume the response should have been, do you need a hug? But, I mean, I'm not married, so I don't know. Charlie, Kevin, can you weigh in on this?
Probably a reassuring pat on the top of the head is probably the move I'd go if my wife were being extremely self-deprecating. Yeah.
So you wouldn't be taking it seriously then?
Not 0%.
Okay.
I'm going to remember to pat myself on the head next time I'm self-soothing.
Make sure you rub your belly at the same time. And no circular pats either. Mm. Straight up and down.
Mm. Yep, getting there. Actually, I think like patting your head and rubbing your stomach is an underrated feeling. Like it's like two loving gestures to yourself at the same time.
It's like, yeah, I am a good boy.
I'm a good boy and I was hungry but now I'm not. Or maybe I'm kind of hungry and thinking about what I'm gonna eat.
So we were watching my father-in-law's dog for a few days this past week, and every time I walked by and he spotted me, he would immediately just go onto his back and stare at me like, give me those belly rubs. What are you doing? And if like I was near him but not like scratching his belly, like he would nudge me. He'd be like, hey, that hand needs to be working. Let's go.
Yeah, like the pry, like you, the pry your arm off of your body kind of nose nudge.
Yes.
Like, hey, what's your hand doing?
Have I mentioned on the podcast that when Chaser whines because he wants something, he does it at a pitch higher than I can hear. So it annoys the crap out of Kara. And like, I never do anything about it because I literally don't hear him.
Wait, so what?
Kara can hear it and you can't?
Yes.
All those heavy metal concerts.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny, though.
It is funny. I feel bad. So it's very often like, all right, you need to do something about this. Like, I hear secondhand. I'm like, all right, I can let him out.
Are you sure?
Oh, maybe yeah.
She's just gaslighting you. Have you recorded it with like a microphone and, you know, run an FFT on it to verify that there's actually some power in that part of the spectrum?
Kara, I don't believe you. Let me get my phone out to record this. And I'll do some analysis on it. And if it turns out you're telling the truth, then I'll let the dog out.
But yeah, dogs know who to go to. He doesn't come to me because he knows I can't hear him.
Just like your children. Go ask your father. We tried. He couldn't hear us. We asked him if we could have ice cream, and he just kept staring blankly at the TV.
Yeah, we're in like a weird, like, putting to bed phase with Connor where, like, he's just so excited to have his mom, like, in the room with him that he will not go to bed. And so I have to go in there, like, after Carr tries, like, every night.
Oh, so you're the fun police.
And then, yeah. And then she's just a little bit like, she's like, I can't believe, like, how does he go down so easy for you? I'm like, I don't know. I guess he probably just thinks I'm more boring.
Yeah. He's definitely forming a traumatic connection here that therapy will bring up. Every time I'm around my dad, I have narcolepsy.
I know I have one way to make him go away.
It took me a second, Paul. That's a good one. Good bits all around today. Great job.
Yeah, yeah.
Good job.
I was worried we wouldn't have anything to go on or to talk about on this podcast.
I guess my last one is UFO 50. Anybody tried it yet? Know what it is?
I heard about it, but it's going to sound bad. But the minute I learned it was on the PC and not the Switch, I was like, I'll just wait for a port.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is definitely fair. But yeah, it's a sort of game that, I mean, obviously, I instantly think of you, but oh, yeah, I was like,
sure. It sounded exactly like my kind of game.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know whether until I started playing it, I didn't know whether you would like it or not. I'm like, I mean, Adam just has a bunch of games that he can play at any given time that are like this, but I think you would like it.
Let me know one that shows up on the Evercade. Actually, maybe it is. That's the kind of thing it might actually show up on.
Deluxe edition with 50 separate cartridges.
Nothing yet, but I still have hope. Yeah, no, it absolutely sounded like my kind of game.
Because it's like, I mean, just this collection of 8-bit games, right? But with having the foresight of 40 extra years of game design, where it's like, oh, maybe we shouldn't design it this way, we should design it this other way. So it's kind of, I don't know, like across the board, most of them are pretty good, except a couple which are strange and like purposely bad. There was one particular one I still can't figure out. The control scheme is like bonkers.
Well, a lot of those games on, like, I think the Spectrum in particular were like legendarily like slapped together.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's one game that literally doesn't work. Because I'm going to mess up all the details on this and I'll try and find a link to properly give the story. But basically, some like game company, one of the ones that was pushing out like tons of games like at the early 80s or whatever, released a game that literally doesn't work, like the controls do nothing. And someone asked the developer about it at one point, like long after, and he like looked at it and looked at the code and he was like, yeah, someone apparently changed my code from like lowercase to uppercase and that broke the game.
You guys remember the story of Aliens Colonial Marines, right?
Yes.
Like, the game played terribly. Like, aliens would literally walk past you without attacking. And someone determined well after the game had already died, because it was terrible, there was a file naming error that once you just corrected it, caused the game to actually load the AI, which it had not been doing before, and it was actually like, oh, this is actually not bad.
Turns so out all the matter reviews of about AI it was just non-existent.
Yeah, all the reviews were like, it's like this game doesn't even have AI. It was like, no, it literally didn't load the AI.
Yeah, and does in fact have no AI. All right, Charlie, I'll add you UFO 50 to my Steam list.
I'm sure it will come out for Switch, though. I would be surprised if it didn't. But I guess the biggest compliment I give it, though, is that Wednesday is the night where we're like, okay, Celeste, we'll sit downstairs and we'll all play video games. And she had like lots of different Switch games to choose from, and she wanted to play Koala Block, which is like game 14 or something, which is like, it's kind of like an Adventures of Lolo sort of game where you're just like a koala pushing around numbered blocks. And I was like, okay, they made an impression.
I mean, Lolo is a great game.
It is. No, like I said, almost every game I've played on it so far has been really, really good.
Nice. Well, that sounds like that does it for this edition of the Gobeski Wallace Report. I'm Adam Gobeski.
I'm Charlie Wallace. Thanks to our three guests, we've got Doug Gobeski.
Am I still supposed to be experiencing ennui?
Has this podcast healed you? Healed your soul?
Yeah. This podcast is the cure for ennui. That's the name of this episode. Write it down now, Charlie.
All right.
Yeah. No, had a fun time.
Paul Wilcox?
Yeah, I can confirm that the condition is reversible. And this is the cure.
And Kevin Fredevoke, how are you doing, Kevin?
You know, my ennui has never been less moderate than right now. It's been a pleasure.
Let's just leave that one alone.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to our show. Make sure to check out our website, GobeskiWallaceReport.com.
And don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter. Just follow us at GW Report. And we're on the Facebook as well, just like our page, the Gobeski Wallace Report. I kind of forgot what was happening.
It's always so hard with the Twitter, with like the @. Like, you don't have to say @, do you?
I don't know. That's a question for the listeners to decide. You can cut that. I have a cold.
We gathered. That was a little too mucusy to be somebody sucking on the last drops of a big gulp.
Wait, that's what? That wasn't what that was?
That was him snorking his nose.
Oh my gosh, I was living in blissful ignorance. I was like, yeah, just, you know, polishing off a shake or something, you know, that we just found out about.
A nice thick mucus shake. Oh, we got good tag show material here. All right.